From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Just days before Donald Trump gave his first State of the Union address, a draft of his infrastructure plan was leaked to the press, revealing that his administration was heading toward greater rights and privileges for oil and gas industries over people and land. On Tuesday night, the president briefly mentioned only the vaguest outlines of his plan. Here's an excerpt from that State of the Union address.
As we rebuild our industries, it is also time to rebuild our crumbling infrastructure. America is a nation of builders. We built the Empire State Building in just 1 year. Isn't it a disgrace that it can now take 10 years just to get a minor permit approved for the building of a simple road? I am asking both parties to come together to give us safe, fast, reliable, and modern infrastructure that our economy needs and our people deserve. Tonight, I'm calling on Congress to produce a bill that generates at least $1.5 trillion for the new infrastructure investment that our country so desperately needs. Every federal dollar should be leveraged by partnering with state and local governments and, where appropriate, tapping into private sector investment to permanently fix the infrastructure deficit. And we can do it. Any bill must also streamline the permitting and approval process, getting it down to no more than 2 years and perhaps even one. Together, we can reclaim our great building heritage. We will build gleaming new roads, bridges, highways, railways, and waterways all across our land. And we will do it with American heart, American hands, and American grit.
That was President Trump on Tuesday night referring to his infrastructure plan during the State of the Union address. On Wednesday, White House officials released a few more details. The New York Times described those details as a plan that, quote, includes spending $200 billion in federal money over the next decade to spur an additional $1.3 trillion in spending from cities, states, and private companies on major projects, and that the increased infrastructure spending would be offset by unspecified budget cuts. The group Democracy Forward, which is representing Food and Water Watch in a lawsuit against the government, is additionally making the case that Trump's infrastructure development goals right from the start of his presidency have been fraught with conflicts of interest. Democracy Forward has just released a new report called A Blueprint for Cronyism, President Trump's Illegal Infrastructure Plan to Enrich His Friends. And joining me now is Charisma Troiano. She is the press secretary for Democracy Forward. Welcome to the program, Charisma.
Thank you so much, Sonali, for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us. So first, let's talk about what it was that he said during the State of the Union ahead of this address. We were getting reports that the speech would focus on the infrastructure plan, but out of, you know, more than 5,000 words, he spent exactly 185 talking about this infrastructure plan. He barely mentioned it, and the only concrete thing he mentioned was that it would generate at least $1.5 trillion for the new infrastructure investment we need. And then he, of course, railed against the length of permits that new building requires. What did you make of what he said at the State of the Union on infrastructure, which wasn't much?
Yeah, no, and I think that that's pretty much emblematic of what we've seen coming out of this administration as it relates to their plan on infrastructure. No details, very little information that causes us to look back and see, well, who are the people that are behind this plan? Who are those who the president had instructed and entrusted to develop the plan? And in doing that, this is how we came about with our blueprint for cronyism, and this is also a part of our larger lawsuit with Food and Water Watch, where we note that the Infrastructure Council that President Trump announced and established back in January to advise and provide recommendations for infrastructure was an illegal council staffed with members who had numerous financial conflicts and who in turn ended up developing the plan in secret. So this is also another reason why we don't know too much about what's in that plan,
right.
And why we didn't hear so much about it during the State of the Union. And so, you know, what information that we have gotten out from the administration, which has come out through leaked drafts of the plan and other policy proposals and recommendations that have been instituted, that's all we have from the president as far as what they plan to do on infrastructure.
I want to just repeat what the New York Times described as the funding structure of the plan and see if you can make any more sense of it. The paper said that the plan includes spending $200 billion in federal money to spur an additional $1.3 trillion in spending from cities, states, and private companies on major projects. So the federal government will spend $200 billion to spur additional spending. Does that mean, what exactly does that mean?
Right. And that is the open question. You know, it's clear that this plan that, you know, we note in not only in our lawsuit, but also in our report, it's an illegal plan. And it's a legal infrastructure plan because it's spurred out of an illegal infrastructure council that was meeting in secret,
right.
And developing policies and recommendations that in some instances the administration did put forth. And others are just continued recommendations that we have seen will cause some future issues as it relates to conflicts of interest. But to get to your question in particular, it's clear that this plan is not focused on American communities, right? Because if you're looking, for a plan that spurs private investment, you can look very closely to the number of the public and private partnerships that have unfortunately failed in many jurisdictions. You can look at Indiana, for example. That's a very good one where Vice President Pence, who was governor at the time, had overseen a public and private partnership of a toll road that ended up costing the taxpayers in Indiana an extremely amount of money to fund that revenue to make up for that private investment in that particular community. And so, you know, the spurring of private investment, I think, is exactly what, you know, worries us, and particular because of the number of conflicted individuals who were sitting on this illegal infrastructure council, including individuals such as real estate developer Stephen Roth, real estate developer Richard Lefrak, both of whom are very close friends of and associates of President Trump. Not only are they friends, but business associates in a couple of real estate developments in New York City. But you also have a number of infrastructure venture capitalists that were sitting on this infrastructure council as well. These are hedge fund groups whose primary source of investment are investing in these similar sort of private-public partnership infrastructure projects. And so knowing that and knowing the interests that are sitting on the Infrastructure Council that are making these plans, that are making that proposal for, a very limited amount of federal funding to spur private investment, i.e. spur that infrastructure venture capitalist funds and monies, you know, that leads to larger questions of exactly how is this infrastructure plan going to benefit America's rural communities? You know, if you're looking to have a plan that focuses so much and so heavily on a private, public-private partnership, and if you look at, for example, the rubric or the judging that the administration had put out as far as what projects are going to get federal funding, you know, those state and local projects, according to the administration, will have to show that they have a new non-federal revenue stream. So that means that if you want to build a road in a very rural part of Idaho, for example, you have to show that not only are, you know, monies that are coming from your state budget newly allotted money, i.e. not money that was allotted, let's say, in a 2015 or 2016 budget for a future road, you know, in 2018 or 19, but, you know, you have to show that you're able to sustain this revenue stream. And normally that's done by tolls, by people who are driving, you know, through and back on a particular road. And in a lot of these rural communities, that's not going to be enough money to generate the amount of revenue that would justify or allow them to obtain a federal grant under the Trump administration's plan. So, you know, I think that to go back to your question as far as, you know, what to make of the New York Times's assessment and note of the $1.3 billion that they're hoping to be spurred by the initial federal investment, I think that that's a very clear example that what the administration is looking to do at the behest of, and again, it's an illegal infrastructure council filled with those who have much financial interest in infrastructure projects, not only, you know, in Washington and in New York City, which people very much tend to focus on, but also have investments in a number of energy companies who benefit from the rollback of permitting and other safety regulations that the administration has withdrawn or halted as part of their larger infrastructure proposal.
Now, Sharizma, the president did not emphasize private investment when he referred to his infrastructure plan in the State of the Union. All he said, this is what he said, he just said every federal dollar should be leveraged by partnering with state and local governments and, where appropriate, tapping into private sector investment. That was the only mention he made, but the Infrastructure Council that you've been talking about seems to suggest that Trump is purely interested in private investment and how government tax dollars may benefit private corporations. Let's talk about the lawsuit that your organization, Democracy Forward, is has launched on behalf of Food and Water Watch. What is the basis of that lawsuit? Food and Water Watch is an organization that is obviously interested in the health and safety of our food and our water. So why are they why are they involved in this lawsuit?
So they're interested in our food and our water and also the infrastructure that supports that. Mm-hmm. And when the administration announced an infrastructure council back in January and announced that it was going to be staffed with individuals such as Richard Lefrak, such as Stephen Roth, both
and this is last January, so a year ago, after Trump was inaugurated. Yeah.
Exactly. This was in January of 2017. And also on that infrastructure council William Ford, as well as Joshua Harris. And those two individuals are members of infrastructure venture capitalist funds and organizations. And, you know, so they announced this council. This council was announced to advise and to provide recommendations to the president on infrastructure. Now, when a president or an agency, and in this case, this infrastructure council was under the auspices of the Department of Transportation, is created to do exactly what this infrastructure council was set up to do, there are certain federal transparency laws that need to be adhered to. And this is called the Federal Advisory Committee Act, otherwise known as FACA. And within that, you know, meetings and minutes need to be given over to the public. The public has to have some sort of insight into, you know, who's the council meeting with, how are the recommendations being fostered. And this council did not do that. In fact, this council met many a times behind closed doors and secret meetings that we know about just through interviews and through conversations that members of the council have held in various different forums. But not once have we seen anything actually coming out of the administration, you know, showing what the council was actually doing. But we know that the council was actually working, and we know this by a number of policy recommendations that the council provided to the Trump administration and that have in turn been turned into policy. Now, our lawsuit notes that because this council was violating FACA, because this council was not adhering to the federal transparency laws, it's therefore an illegal council. And then out of that, any recommendations that this now illegal council provides to the president and then becomes policy is essentially an illegal craft of a plan. And so we know, for example, that a number of the items that are mentioned in the leaked version of the administration's infrastructure plan that came out, I think, about a week before the State of the Union address, a lot of those recommendations are recommendations that members of this council had supported prior to being asked by President Trump to join that infrastructure council. So as an example of some of the policy recommendations that President Trump's illegal infrastructure council provided and that have since been turned into policy that benefit, not only would it benefit President Trump, but also members of the council, one of them includes rolling back flood safety protections. For example, the Pras administration had instituted new rules that required any new development that occurs on floodplains to have certain higher level of protection. So, for example, they're either to be built on a higher plane or to have itself instituted just more safety protections in the event of an inevitable flood. The Trump administration rolled back that rule. This is also a rule that Mr. LaFrak's organization had lobbied hard against for a number of years. It seems a little bit more than happenstance that Mr. LaFrak is now on the Infrastructure Council, provides a recommendation to President Trump's administration, and then that rule is rolled back. Another rule that was recently rolled back was a delay in gas pipeline safety rules. Back in 2010, there was a horrible and deadly gas pipeline explosion in California. And after that, Congress mandated that there needs to be, stronger gas pipeline and delivery regulations. The past administration began to implement similar rules. The current administration, again, rolled those back or delayed them. This is despite the fact that it's estimated that these rules would have saved at least 40 or at least prevented 40 deaths. There are energy investment companies, such as the one that Mr. Harris as well as Mr. Ford are invested in, who very much so were an opponent of these gas pipeline safety rules. In fact, one of the energy investment companies had noted that the rules created a financial risk for the company. Those rules have since been delayed. So these are just a few examples of very key, very core infrastructure policy rules and regulations that were opposed by members of the Trump administration's Infrastructure Council that now have been rolled back at the behest of members of Trump's Infrastructure Council.
Sharizma, I understand that the Trump administration just in recent days has called on the courts to dismiss the lawsuit that your organization has put forward.
And understandably so. You know, this is kind of the par for the course when it comes to litigation. But the bottom line is that this council was meeting in secret. We've supported evidence to that fact. And this council has instituted and recommended policy recommendations to the president that have been turned into actual federal policy. And, if the fruit of the poisonous tree is what we're talking about here, it's these policies that are enacted that came out of an infrastructure council that was meeting, that was organized, and that was providing information outside of public view, outside of federal transparency laws. And so while the administration will do its due and, put forth its motions to dismiss, we feel very strongly that we're right on the law and we're right on the facts.
So not only would this infrastructure plan, if it were to go forward, impact essentially encourage the building of more oil and gas pipelines, which is bad for the environment in the long and short term, it would also enrich Trump's own friends and give corporations a lot more power over our infrastructure. We know that corporations try to extract profit at the expense of public safety whenever they can get away with it, right?
Yeah, and you've already seen the administration tout the rollback of very stringent environmental protections when it comes to creating new infrastructure projects. For example, another item that was hailed by big business, as you had mentioned, and as well as other items that benefit members of Trump's own family. And for example, the administration recently rolled back lead protections. There was a prior rule that was in place that had lowered the threshold of what is considered hazardous or dangerous level of lead in children in properties that are owned or federally financed by HUD, for example. That would include Starrett City in New York that is partially owned by President Trump, as well as housing developments that are owned by Kushner and Kushner commissioner's family in their real estate companies. You know, so these infrastructure proposals and these infrastructure rollbacks that the administration has done, you know, yes, to your point, it does seem as though it's a gift to big business that does not appear to have the American people and the interests of the American people and the communities that need this infrastructure at the heart of it.
And in fact, let's talk about that, because the U.S.'s infrastructure is absolutely crumbling. We need better roads. We need to fix up bridges. We have electrical infrastructure that needs replacing, levees that need reinforcing. With climate change, this is even more critical. And it could, a good infrastructure plan could potentially be exactly the kind of thing that could benefit both these infrastructure needs and the economy of the country. And I don't mean economy as measured by the stock market, but economy as measured by the well-being and job security of millions of Americans, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, and infrastructure has the ability, or infrastructure projects, to spur job creation in the communities that those infrastructure projects are being built. And curiously enough, the Trump administration has halted sort of initiatives of that very same nature. So the past administration had implemented or started to work out a rule that had incentivized local hiring in federal infrastructure projects. And as part of that, they created a pilot program in about 10 states, and I may have that number incorrect, it may be higher than that, to further incentivize local hiring and infrastructure projects. And in doing that, I believe there was a recent Newsweek article about that very program that had noted that not only will you be building infrastructure in the needed areas, but you're also creating job security in areas that have very high unemployment rates. So it's almost a win-win. The Trump administration rolled back that rule, stopped that initiative, and this is something that was opposed by a number of manufacturing companies and builder and trade associations. And so, you know, knowing that, you know, so much of America's rural and local communities have infrastructure needs that are pressing, and also have communities that are still trying to reel and get themselves together as it relates to job security and unemployment rates, to pull back an incentive to promote local hiring as well as promoting local infrastructure projects, it really does baffle the mind that when you have or when you should have the heart and the benefit of the American people at the very core of what you're doing, it just baffles the mind that is not what's at the forefront of the administration's infrastructure plan.
Sharisma, could your lawsuit stop this plan? You mentioned that because the administration has violated these federal transparency laws with respect to this particular aspect of policy making, if the lawsuit goes forward, could it potentially put the brakes on this plan?
So what the lawsuit is trying to declare that the Infrastructure Council was unlawful, but also to declare that the actions taken as a result of recommendations from that council are also unlawful. So we'll have to see where it ends up.
Right. If the recommendations, as you pointed out, from that council are indeed the same as what's central to the Trump plan on infrastructure, because why wouldn't it be? If he's meeting with them, he's going to take their advice. Then it could invalidate or at least call into question Trump's plan.
Yes, yes, it could.
So let's also talk about what history teaches us. I mean, there was a time in this country where we had a New Deal that put people to work, that used the government in a very constructive way to rebuild the infrastructure and get people to work. This is exactly the kind of thing that pro-corporate so-called libertarians like to dismiss as socialism, right? But isn't this exactly the kind of thing that we need? We know what we don't want, which is corporations having say over how our infrastructure is built and enriching themselves from it. What do we want?
No, and you know, and I think we want what we started to see, and what you've heard many people in many American communities say, is that they want jobs, right? But they also want their roads, they want their bridges, they want them to work. That they also don't want to be tolled for that and in an astronomical way at the benefit of a private company that has come in to create a bridge only because they know that they will be able to milk the local community for tolls and other forms of revenue. And so, you know, local jobs is I believe what, you know, what we need. And by creating that, you know, local infrastructure creates those jobs. There are already programs in place to spur that. It would only behoove us to continue that path forward.
How can people find out more about the lawsuit and also the report?
Yeah, so thanks to programs like yours, us being able to speak a little bit more about it and what's going on with the Trump administration and infrastructure. But if anyone's interested, you can always check out our website, which is democracyforward.org. All the information is there, including all the case documents, if anyone is interested in actually reading legal prose.
And also briefly, what is the status of the lawsuit right now? Where do you expect it to head? I'm assuming as it winds its way through courts, it will be weeks and months.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one thing when it comes to legal action is that it does take time. So right now we are just in the process of working with the courts and seeing, you know, where our next step is as far as our next step in the briefing schedule.
Well, we'll post a link to your website as well as the report, Blueprint for Cronyism, from our website later today. Charisma, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Sonali.
My guest has been Charisma Troiano. She is the press secretary for the organization Democracy Forward. We've been discussing the new report by that group. It's called A Blueprint for Cronyism, President Trump's Illegal Infrastructure Plan to Enrich His Friends. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. You can also find out more about our show on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.